turn down the volume on this thing. My greatest fear is that, like, mid-worship, something's gonna happen. I'll get, like, a...
Good morning. Welcome here to worship at Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether it's your first time visiting or you've been coming here all your life, we are so glad you've decided to join us in worship today. We have a lot of exciting announcements of things happening in the church and things that have happened last night and were wonderful. So let's go ahead and get started with announcements.
Good morning. Thank you to all who donated, performed, and showed up to the Jamaica team's Blue Mountain Coffee House last night. It was a fabulous success. As a total, we raised $1,263. We also received a donation from a very generous person for $250. So, woo! You go, person that I don't know. However, we do still have some very delicious goodies to sell after church. They will be in the fellowship hall if you'd like to go down and buy a few, because you know you want to. Thank you.
Good morning. In August of this past year, the senior high youth group traveled to New York City and spent the week working with homeless people in the shelters, preparing dinners and also accompanying them on some of their other trivialities through life. And there they learned that the homeless are not just homeless by choice all the time. A lot of times we have a stereotype of the homeless people. A lot of times these are people that are educated, hardworking all their lives, and for many different reasons have fallen on hard times. And if you look around you, the person sitting next to you or in front of you could possibly be homeless next week. It can happen that quickly. So on Tuesday, there was a news article about Downtown United Presbyterian Church opening their doors to up to 15 homeless people to try to help them get through these sub-zero temperatures in the next few weeks. And that, to me, is mission in action. And so when I asked what we might be able to do to help in this effort, they asked if anyone would be available maybe to give them morning transportation around 7:30 or 8 o'clock each morning. They have a choice of going to Asbury Methodist Church or to St. Joseph's House of Hospitality, which we're very familiar with, where they get a hot breakfast. So that's one way you could help. They're looking for overnight staffing. They have an experienced overnight staffer there, but they can always use extra help there. I think Dave Fish has been very active in this, and Dave is another one you could see if you're interested in helping out. And dinner preparation. So if you can help out in any of those areas, please see me or Dave Fish, and we can coordinate it. I'm sure you've all heard that the reading from Matthew 25. But when Jesus replied to the questions, he said, "Truly I tell you, whenever you did this for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So if you can help, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Good morning. Quick reminder about the potluck luncheon coming up next Sunday. And we're asking you to bring your crock pots with soup, favorite soup, bread, fruit, and some vegetables. Right after the congregational meeting, we'll see you there. Thank you.
And so, of course, before the potluck, we'll have our congregational meeting. And our annual reports are ready and are ready for you to read and enjoy. So go ahead and pick them up on the tables right outside of the sanctuary after worship. After the congregational meeting and potluck, we're also going to spend some time with our vision and strategy team, who are looking forward to the future of the church. We'd like to get your feedback and talk about what you're most excited for in the church. So please join them as well on the 25th. We have two announcements for senior high. First off, there is Sunday school today. We're definitely having it. Also, our retreat is coming up next week, so this is your final day to turn in your permission slips and your payment if you want to come. You can come for part of the time because you've got work or activities. Talk to me. Other people are making it part of the time, and we can carpool together. Either way, it'll be great to have people there. We also have a training that will be coming up at the end of February, so you've got a little bit of time to think about it. GPC is going to be hosting a Presbyterian event where we do a two-hour training called Stewards of Children. This is for people who work with kids, either here at Sunday school or a youth group, or who do other events like Scouts and would like to have a little bit more experience. It helps people sort of identify some safe practices for working with kids and find ways to take care of them. It's a two-hour training on February 28th from 10 to noon. So if you're interested, find me for more information or just sign up in the kiosk outside, which has a flyer. Let us prepare our hearts and get ready to worship God.
Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Come, listen for the word of the one who created you in love.
We are ready to listen.
Discover the one who knows all your ways and sees all your potential.
We are ready to listen.
Meet the one who greets our discouragement with hope and our fear with courage. Open your hearts to the one who offers us the transforming vision of God's love and justice. Here we are, ready to listen and follow God's call.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Gracious God, you call for us to follow you, but we get distracted. You call us to compassion, but our selfish desires keep us separated from one another. We wait for an easy message from you that we like, instead of hearing the cries of your people in the streets and around the world. Forgive us, God. Help us to open ourselves and be ready for your voice in our lives. Give us the confidence we need to follow you. In every time and place, God is still speaking a message of peace and love. Know that God hears our confession and forgives us for our sins. God's message is here for us, and God's grace surrounds us. Thanks be to God. Now I'd like to invite the children to come up front and join me here. Everybody, I'm glad you're here with me today. I've got a question for everyone. What do you do when your mom calls you? Yeah? Straight to your mom. Good answer. All right, you've got the next one, okay? What? Oh, that's good. You tell them you're coming and then you go. All right. What do you do when your best friend calls you? Okay. What do you do when your best friend calls? What do? You go and play with them. That's a good idea. What if a brother or sister calls your name and they need help? What do you do? You go ask what they need, definitely. Any other ideas? I think we've got it. All right, what do you think? You run to your brother. Run! Okay. So you're ready to help. What do you do when God calls you? What do you do? Answer. That's good. Definitely answer. What do you think? You listen. What do you think? Oh, see, that's the hard part. Normally, God doesn't start yelling at us or call us on the telephone or text us, right? We have to listen really hard for God, and we have to pray to help talk to God. But today in the Bible, we're going to learn about a story where there was somebody who was young, just like you, and he was lying down to sleep, and he heard God calling his name. Do you think he was scared? Yeah, a little. He was pretty confused about what was going on. But he knew that when God calls, even if it's surprising, listen. And you ask what God wants. And God needed help because people weren't being fair. So sometimes God tells us to help other people. And you could do that, right? You guys could help other people? Yeah, I know you can. All right, so let's go ahead and pray together. Dear God, help us to listen to you. Help us to find people who need help. Amen. Now we've got a special treat today. Before you guys go to Sunday school, the youth choir is going to sing. And since lots of your Sunday school teachers are in youth choir, you're going to stay and listen to them and then go off to Sunday school together, all right? All right. Go ahead and take a seat and you can listen. You guys can stay here if you want. Yeah.
and for Sunday school. Today, the first reading of the Word comes from the first chapter of Samuel, telling his story. The boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the Ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" He got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. And then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." Again Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, did you call me?" And then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening."
Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Corona has spoken.
It was awesome.
Our second reading of the word today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Listen now for the word of God. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in which there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe this because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Thanks be for God's word. One of the confusing things about being a Katie is that there are dozens of us. At any given time, I'm in the same room as another Katie or talking to somebody who is a Katie in the family. There are plenty of Katies, and so I've learned to kind of just tune people out unless I know they're actually talking to me. But there aren't that many Catherine Elizabeths out there, which is who I am. Whenever I hear my full name being used, then I perk up my ears. This got embarrassing a couple years back at my church in Louisville. One of the church's many Catherines was heading for a fourth cookie after worship, and so her mother shouted, "Catherine Elizabeth, you get back here right now!" I had my keys in my hand, I was walking out the door, and I froze and was two steps back there before I even knew what I was doing. Turns out that if there is a mom yelling my name in that tone of voice, and you know what tone of voice that is, no matter what is happening, I still have those instincts thinking that I must be in trouble. Our names get called all the time. We get a shout out when our order's up at Starbucks. We get phone calls from telemarketers who probably won't pronounce our names correctly. We get called on at school, or in meetings at work, or shouted to across the parking lot by a friend. Some calls we're good at paying attention to. If a student is dozing off in class, a quick word from their professor is usually enough to make them, "Huh? What?" When my dad is walking by the church nursery, if he hears a toddler crying, he will always stop and make funny faces at the window. Doesn't matter if we're late for church, doesn't matter if he's supposed to be ushering, he has to be there and try and make that kid laugh. It's a dad thing, I guess. I know I have a quiet voice without a microphone, but my husband can hear me calling across Wegmans, "No, get that kind of milk." He's been trained by now to hear my voice, even across crowded supermarkets. We're all used to hearing our names called by our parents and our friends, the people who care about us. We know what to expect and how to respond. But what does it sound like when God calls our names? And how do we possibly respond to that? Should we feel guilty, like with a shout from a parent? Should we be afraid? Or maybe something else? Before we respond to God's call, first we have to figure out what it could sound like. Samuel will become one of Israel's earliest prophets. He has two entire books of the Bible named after him. He anointed David as king and was advisor to David and Saul. And yet, even Samuel has no idea how to recognize when God calls him. Samuel is so confused that he thinks God is his guardian Eli, not once, not twice, but three times. Today's Bible passage can easily become slapstick comedy. God calls, Samuel goes to Eli. Eli sends him back to bed. And as soon as Samuel settles back down, God calls again. Poor Samuel is running back and forth and back and forth, just convinced that Eli is totally, definitely calling him this time. After all, that can't be God's voice. Why would God call out to Samuel, a child who runs errands for priests? Well, God doesn't just call out to the wise or the powerful or the old. He doesn't just call out to priests, certainly. God calls out to the young and the old, the people who are waiting and trying to listen for God's word, and the people who are just trying to relax and get some sleep. We come in together in this church week after week, hoping to hear God's voice in our lives, giving us guidance and helping us understand how to live. We read the Bible and we pray, waiting to learn what God's call is to us. But God doesn't just show up when we're ready and waiting. Even in this biblical story, while Samuel is sleeping in a temple, God manages to sneak in and demand to be noticed. Samuel is completely surprised, and I can't blame him. I pray every week that we open to God's word in my life, and I would still be absolutely 100% terrified if I heard a voice calling my name in the middle of the night. That's not usually the beginning of religious visions, but the stuff of nightmares. We don't usually imagine God's call in our lives as a literal voice these days. We might think that the people who actually hear God talking are a little, crazy. And surely if God does speak, we would know, right? It would sound unmistakably holy, like beautiful singing, rolling thunder, or a mighty rushing wind. You think that God's voice would at least sound, you know, a little bit like Morgan Freeman or maybe James Earl Jones. But that's not what happens here. God's call to Samuel is so subtle that it's confusing. God doesn't pull out miracles like writing on the wall or appearing in a burning bush. To Samuel, God sounds like Eli, the man he talks to every day. God's voice reminds Samuel exactly of Eli, his teacher and his guardian. They live together in the temple, and Eli has been teaching Samuel from right from wrong since he was a young child. It's no wonder the first thing Samuel understands about God's call is that it sounds familiar, that it sounds like his mentor. After all, isn't that how we learn about God? Time after time, there are people in our lives who care about us enough to teach us about God's call. Maybe our parents or grandparents first taught us about God, reading through Bible storybooks with us before bedtime. Maybe we learned from a Sunday school teacher or a youth group leader that we had God's simple message to the world. We are so very loved that God's Son came down to give us grace. Our introduction to God's call of love and support may have come from a neighbor, a friend who invited us to church or sat with us in a hospital room when things got rough. Time after time, we learn what God has to say from the actions of people around us. You are loved. You, yes, you are worth speaking to. You are somebody that matters enough for God to call in every way, from a stranger's smile to casseroles delivered by deacons. Samuel heard God's voice as his mentor's voice because God's love sounds a lot like the voices of people we care about. It's through them that we begin to learn what God's love is really like. And it's through loving others that we can help spread the gospel and teach others about God's grace. That's when things get a little more active for us, because listening to God isn't a passive action. We can't just sit back and listen, but it should inspire us and spur us on to follow God's call. One of the most important prayers in the Jewish faith is the Shema, which literally just means to hear. The prayer begins with, "Hear, O Israel," not because literally listening or having good hearing is the most important part of Judaism. Don't worry. Instead, that Hebrew word is a command to not only hear, but to pay attention and obey. Deaf and hearing Jews alike pray the Shema together because hearing God is much more than just using your ears. It's about understanding and responding to God's message. There's a huge difference between hearing a call and actually responding to it. Pet owners know this. Have you ever seen a cat jump up on the kitchen table? You yell their name, and they perk up the ears and look at you, and then sit down and start to nap. Cats can hear, but they don't always respond. God calls out to us not just so that we hear, but we reply to God's call in service. That's the other reason that it really makes sense to me that Samuel is so confused. Samuel is young in this story, and Eli is old, unable to see anymore, and also unable to take care of himself. Samuel is probably used to having Eli call out in the night whenever he needs help going to the bathroom or getting another blanket. To Samuel, the call of God sounds like the call of somebody who's in need. And so, of course, Samuel jumps up and rushes over to Eli, the person that he knows most likely needs a helping hand. The voice of God sounds like the voices of the poor, the oppressed, and the lonely, even today. God's call to us might sound like a news report saying that 84% of Rochester City students qualify for free or reduced lunches. Then responding to God's call might include volunteering at a backpack program to give students food for the weekend. God's call might look like uneven poverty rates and open racial discrimination, like it did back for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We celebrate MLK Day this Monday as a federal holiday, not because Dr. King was the only person to hear that racism was a problem in his generation. There's no doubt that millions of people knew that segregation and discrimination were against God's plans for the world. But Dr. King was one of the people who answered God's call for justice with action. He read the scriptures and responded by speaking truth to the powers around him, by working and praying for a better way to live. All throughout our history, we have examples of where God's voice was heard as a call to action. God speaks through the cries of the people who most need the church to stand up and speak out. Today, we are surrounded by examples of people who hear God calling their name and urging them into service. The members of Downtown United Presbyterian Church knew that the people in our city desperately needed a warm place to sleep, and so they are responding to God's call. Their church has come together to offer housing and meals for people over the next 2 weeks. And because of them, every night 15 people are safe and warm this cold winter. We're invited to join with their church in service, to serve meals, to act as drivers, and to even spend the night at Downtown United in order to share God's love with our community. I know some of you have already stepped up to help, and I know others of you are already committed to serving lunch at Salem and St. Joe's, to cheering up sick children in the hospital. God calls each of us in different ways, and we have found so many wonderful ways as Christians to respond to God's call. God doesn't usually call out our names at night these days, like Samuel heard so long ago. But God is still speaking to us, thousands of years and thousands of miles from that temple in Jerusalem. God's voice still sounds a lot like our mentors and teachers, and often like the people who need our help. If God's call seems distant, but the cries for justice are all around us, sometimes we just need to get up, search a little, ask around, and recalibrate until we understand God's call. Thankfully, God is patient. God called out to Samuel 4 times before he finally got the message and answered, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." It's okay to feel lost and wonder where God's call could be in our lives. But may we be open to God's persistent, strangely familiar voice, calling our name and urging us into action. May we hear God's call of compassion and know that we are God's children. Like a frantic father searching for his child in a crowd, or a grateful mother welcoming us home, God keeps calling our names and bringing us into relationship together. Thanks be to God. I'd like you all to join with me in reading the affirmation of faith together, which comes from the Belhar Confession. We believe that God is revealed as the one who wishes to bring about justice and true peace among people.
God brings justice to the oppressed and gives bread to the hungry.
We believe that God, in a world full of injustice and enmity, is in a special way the God of the destitute, the poor, and the wronged.
God frees the prisoner, restores sight to the blind.
We believe that God calls the church to follow this call.
God supports the downtrodden, protects the stranger, helps the orphans and the widows, and walks the path of the ungodly.
We believe that God wishes to teach the church to do what is good and to seek the right.
The church must therefore stand by people in any form of suffering and need, so that justice may roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amen.
We get to come together as a community.
to share our joys and also our concerns and worries for the people that we care about. What would people like to lift up today in prayer?
Good morning, Keisha Binko. I received a text from my good friend Michelle Marshall this morning as I was entering church. Her mother passed away early this morning, so prayers for her and her family, please.
Good morning. Keith Morgan. We have two joys to bring up. One is our friend, Chris Nielsen, who we asked for prayers for 8 months ago, who was diagnosed with leukemia. Yesterday we learned that she has had all of her chemo and had a bone marrow transplant, and she is cancer-free. And the other is our sister-in-law, Chris, who reported who lost her leg last week. She is up, and she is with us. She's going to make it.
David Keeling, my manager at work, He had to leave us. He has a leave of absence, I guess you could call it. His mom, she's really not doing well. She's in the hospital. We believe it's a coma. We don't know to the extent, though, of the issue. And then him himself, he has a nerve issue in his leg. So prayers for him, please. Thank you.
Many of you know, last Monday I lost my mom. After a long struggle, special prayers, if you would, for my sisters especially, for they nursed her and gave her a lot of good care in her transition into her new life. But thanks for all the sentiments last night and today that those that did know. So I had the privilege of spending just 2 days shy of 65 years with her, so it was great. So thank you.
Jan Phillips, I just want to thank everyone for their prayers for my dad, Don Bernhardt. He had surgery 2 weeks ago. He had his leg amputated. He is at St. Anne's in the transitional care, and we ask for continued prayers. He's going to be there likely at least another month or so. Thank you.
Anna Burley, I have a dear aunt in West Virginia, my Aunt Jenny, who we put in hospice care this week. I really would appreciate all the prayers you could give for her. She is one of the best Christian women I have ever known in my life, so I need your prayers.
Jim Madaw, we have a prayer of joy and continuing concern. Our daughter Nancy has finished her chemo. She got the good news this week that she will have a lumpectomy instead of the alternative, and then she will start radiation after that. And we're truly grateful for the progress she's made. Thank you.
I'd like to extend a warm welcome to some friends from Lakeside Presbyterian Church that recently had to close, Tom and Jan Brewer and, was it Nancy? And Nancy. So if you see them, be sure to welcome them. Thank you.
Welcome. Clarine Kress, I go under the knife on Tuesday. I'm having a total knee replacement, and I hope I have a speedy recovery, and death don't come and knock on my room. Okay. All right.
Many prayers from our Sunday school today. Prayers of joy for Sunday school and for new friends. Many people are having joys for seeing new movies and new plays together, getting new drumsticks, getting to go to Winterfest. Also, joys that someone placed second at the Pinewood Derby, so that's pretty exciting. Getting to spend time with family. There are concerns that people's cousins will get better, people's friends will feel better soon. And also, worries that the snow will melt, which is a concern for some people and a potential joy for others. So pray however you're feeling on that one.
One more. Hey, Jan Buettner. Just prayers for someone very near and dear to me who's having surgery this week, and pray that everything goes well for him. Thanks.
I I'm Ed, and my uncle went on a cruise on the 1st of January. He's from Cheektowaga, and I like prayers for my uncle Ron. The second day on his cruise, he developed viral pneumonia, and he's really bad. He's down in the Tampa area in a hospital in Clearwater, and he's trying to get home, but he's in recovery, and I'd really like your prayers for him. And then my niece has a newborn child in Massachusetts, and her it's like her her oxygen level is really, really low, like 9%, and she's having complications with her, and her heartbeat is like 11 beats per minute, and I'd really like your prayers, if you would, and pray for them for me. God bless you.
I'd also like to lift up in prayer Sheila Stewart, who is recovering after a fall, and Janice Milovic's daughter, granddaughter, Tiffany, who's also recovering from a fall and recovering from surgery right now. So prayers for them. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for this time that we can gather here today and to hold each other in our moments of concern and worry, in our times of grief, in our times of joy and celebration. God, we ask to feel your love when we are afraid, that you give strength to those who are ill, patience to those who are recovering, and fortitude to those who are waiting for good news. We ask that you care for the people who care for our loved ones. You give them strength as well and courage to continue. We ask all of these things knowing that you are always here for us, that your voice calls out for us and lets us know of your love and compassion for the world. God, we ask that sometimes, even when things get busy and the noise is hectic around us, that amidst all of the other voices in our lives, we can hear your call. We ask that you give us the peace and calm that we need to hear your still, small voice urging us on in love. We ask all of these things in gratefulness for the many blessings that you have given us and in hope and joy for all of our tomorrows. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's come together now and collect our tithes and our offerings.
Dear Lord, you call us every day, every hour, you call us to make this a better world, to go out and spread the good news, the gospel, and be in mission to the world. And we pray now that you will take these gifts that we bring and use them to further your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go out into the world in peace, love God and serve your neighbor, and know that everywhere you go, God's voice is there for you, calling your name in love. May the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Right.